And now please remain standing for our scripture, which comes from John 16, verses 12 to 15. I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify me, because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will receive from me what he will make known to you.
It is good to be here. I've missed being here. I've been in the U.S. for 3 weeks, and before that I had a conference here I had to attend, and so it's been 4 weeks since I've been in a service here, and we've got a lot of folks out, so it's going to be longer before I get to see some of our church folks again, but it's really great to be back. I missed it. We had a great trip. I had a conference in the U.S. I was required to attend, which was fine, and got to see some friends and family. Which was great, and spoke in some churches while I was there about a ministry going on here. Some churches there are very supportive of our ministry here, and so I was glad to get a chance to connect with some of the U.S. churches that are supporting us. So it was a great trip, but I'm so glad to be back, and one of the things I miss most is getting to do this. I love preaching, and I haven't preached in 4 weeks, and so I'm ready to do this. by the way, I did listen to all those that spoke while I was gone, and it was fantastic. I mean, just really, really good. And I'm so glad. I'm so glad that there was such a powerful message delivered every week while I was gone, and I'm grateful for the people that did that. But I'm glad to be doing it today. And so I want to talk today about this idea. What if you could have everything you ever dreamed of and be the person that you dream of being, and as you imagine your life, what if you could actually have that? As you imagine your best self being everything you want to be and more, what if you could actually have that? Now, there's a lot of things in this world that are trying to convince us that that's possible. Every advertiser is trying to say, use our product, and you'll be happy. You'll be successful. Just use our products and you can have everything you want, at least in their area of expertise. There's a lot of sinful things in the world trying to tell us that. That if you come over to this area of sin, that you can have it all. Or at least you can feel it for a little while. That's the promise of drugs and excessive alcohol, that for a little while we can just feel good, that we can have that feeling for a little while. It promises us to escape the troubles of the world for a little while. Of course, it creates a lot more, but that's the promise. Or sometimes it's this idea of, maybe if I can control everything, maybe if I can control everything in my life, if I can control all the people around me in my life, then I can be happy. Then I can be the person I want to be and live the life I dream of. Maybe if I just work hard enough. Maybe if I work hard enough and I'm a good enough person and I do everything right, then I can be everything I dream of being. We get pulled in that way of thought, and many sinful things in the world try to promise us that. And then there's some good things in the world that try to promise us that, including religion. Haven't we heard in our life as Christians something along the lines of, if you're a good person, God will bless you. If you do the right thing, good things will happen. If you have faith, good things will happen in your life and God will bless you. And there's an extreme version of that in Christianity. It's called prosperity theology, that says if you have faith, everything will be fine. If you have enough faith, you will not be sick. You will never have financial problems. Your family will always get along. Everything in your marriage will be perfect. Your kids will turn out great if you just have enough faith. And that creates some problems, because then we come into the real world And there are struggles. And even in Christian families, there are difficulties. And sometimes it's difficult to raise kids. In fact, it's always difficult to raise kids. And sometimes finances are a struggle. And sometimes we get disappointed because we expected if I was a good person and kept the rules and did everything right and believed the right things and had the right doctrine and enough faith, everything should work out in my life. And then we hit real life in this troubled world and we think, what happened? Why did this not work out? Why did God let this happen? There's an author named Peter Scacero, I hope I'm pronouncing that right. He wrote a book called Emotionally Healthy Spirituality. Great book. And he talks about that, about coming into the Christian faith and believing that if I believe the right things and keep the rules and do everything right and have faith, that things will work out in my life the way I want them to. And then they don't. And he talks about, as a Christian, hitting the wall. Hitting the wall is his term. That we come up against this big wall, we think, what happened? This is not what I thought it was going to be. I thought God was going to bless me. I thought things would work out well in my life. And why is God letting this happen? And when that happens, some people drop out of the faith. Some people lose faith in God. They begin to question whether there even is a God. Some people continue to go to church. Some people continue to live the Christian life, but quietly they suffer. Afraid to say the doubts that they have about God. Afraid to say out loud that they're upset, angry with God. Sometimes we come into church and we put on our smile and we act like it's okay. But sometimes our faith is really struggling because of the problems we face in this world. And so we're left with this question. Can we be what we hope to be in life? Can we have the kind of life we dream of in a world that is fallen, that is sinful, that is a struggle? And that's the question I want to try to address today. And we begin to address that question in Psalm chapter 8. We read this to begin our service. In Psalm 8, verse 5, an amazing thing is written. We are told, you have made them, that is us, human beings, you have made us a little lower than the angels and crown them with glory and honor. That human beings, as a creation of God, are made a little lower than the angels. In the Message Bible, which I'm a big fan of the Message Bible, I love the way it's written. It's written in very modern, easy-to-read language. It says, yet we've so narrowly missed being gods, bright with Eden's dawn light. It's an amazing statement that we are made in the divine image of God. Genesis tells us that in the beginning, in creation, we were created in the image of God himself. Now, God doesn't have a physical body. So we're not talking about two arms and two legs and two eyeballs. God is a spirit. And so our spirit, the divine image that we are, our life, our eternal life is in the image of God, who we are as God's creation. And he has made us as divine creatures in his own image. And that's why the psalmist writes, you made us just a little lower than the angels, crowned us with glory and honor. That's who we are. That's who we're created to be. And so why aren't we that? If that's what God created us to be, if that's what God created, and we are assured in the scriptures that we are created in the divine image, a little lower than the angels, crowned in glory, then why don't we feel that way? Why don't we experience that every day? Why aren't we just sailing through life with no problems at all if we are made in the divine image of God? Well, There is the situation that we live in a very human world, a fallen world, a sinful world. That while our spirit is created in the image of God, we have human bodies. We live in a fallen world, in a world of sin and trouble and pain. Doesn't mean everything's bad, but it means that we live in a troubled world, that we make all kinds of problems for ourselves with our sin, with our ignorance, with our bad decisions, and then other people make big problems for us with their sin and their bad decisions. And then sometimes things just happen that we don't understand because it's a fallen world. And so now we have these two things. On the one hand, we are created in the divine image of God. We are everything we could ever imagine ourselves to be because we are created a little lower than the angels. And then on the other hand, we live in a very fallen world, a troubled world. And we are sinful people in frail human bodies with tiny little brains that just don't understand everything. And if we move to one side, we begin to think, well, if I'm in the image of God, everything should work out okay. And if we move too far to the other side and we look around in this troubled world and we see the difficulties around us, we may think, well, it's hopeless. Look how bad things are in the world. What can I do against all of that? How can I possibly be happy, be fulfilled? How can I be what I hope to be in a world like this? If we look too much at the world, we'll lose all hope. And so how do we live knowing that we are the divine creation of God, created a little lower than the angels, crowned in glory, and yet live in this very fallen world? How do we navigate both at the same time? Well, Jesus tells us that. We read that in the scriptures today in John chapter 16. He says to his disciples, I still have many things to tell you, but you can't handle them now. Now, this is an interesting thing. This is John chapter 16. In John chapter 17, Jesus prays for himself, for his disciples, for all those who would believe. And in John 18, he's arrested. This is getting very close to his death and resurrection, to the end of his earthly life in this world before he ascends back into heaven. That means the disciples have been with him every day, listening to him, learning from him for years, for about 3 years. And at the end of this 3 years, Jesus says to them, you still don't get it. You still don't understand. I still have so much to teach you. Now, if the disciples who gave their whole life to Jesus, followed him every day, listened to him, not just in spirit as we do, but in physical voice teaching them for 3 years, and still didn't get it, still couldn't understand, how can we possibly understand? Jesus gives us that answer. He says, I have many things to teach you, but you can't handle them now. But when the friend comes, the Spirit of truth, he will take you by the hand and guide you into all the truth there is. This is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit that comes in Acts chapter 2 is who Jesus is referring to. The divine presence of God in this world that descends after Jesus has paved the way through his death and resurrection, that he has paid the price of all sin. He has overcome this fallen world. He paves the way for the Holy Spirit of God, God's presence, to be with us. And in Acts chapter 2, the Holy Spirit comes and he takes the disciples by the hand and guides them unto all truth. The Holy Spirit comes in Acts chapter 2. The Holy Spirit never left the church. That same Holy Spirit is here with us in this very moment. Sometimes we struggle to understand that. Sometimes we go through the motions of our faith and our religion and our habits and our life, and we fail to understand that the Holy Spirit of God is here with us in this world, even now, as he was in Acts chapter 2. And that's what Jesus says is the key. That the Holy Spirit comes, takes you by the hand, and leads you into all truth. We can't do this by ourselves. This is not a matter of us being strong or intelligent or being a good person or doing good deeds to overcome the world. This is not about us just believing that we are creations of God and somehow it's going to be okay. It is about Jesus overcoming the world, the Holy Spirit of God taking us by the hand and leading us, guiding us into all truth. How do we navigate these contradictory truths that we are a divine image created in the image of God and yet live in a troubled, fallen world? How do we live the life that God has called us to in his creation in this world? It only comes through the Holy Spirit guiding us through this life. It is a spiritual walk. It's not a matter of just believing the right stuff or doing the good deeds or keeping the rules. All those things are important. They're part of the journey. But the journey is led by the Holy Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit of God. And that is why it is so important for us as Christians to not just go through the motions of religion, but to be connected to the Father, to be connected to the Holy Spirit through prayer, through the study of Scripture, through worship, through the things that we do in our faith, to be connected with God. Because this is a fallen world, but God never intended for us to just wallow in the misery of life. God intends for us to be a little lower than the angels. But that doesn't just happen in this world without the Holy Spirit of God guiding us into all truth. Even Jesus told the disciples, "You don't understand yet." Even as they sat with Jesus, they didn't understand. It is a spiritual revelation. It is a spiritual journey that comes as we are connected to the Holy Spirit. God has done this for us. God created us into his image, and as sin came into the world, and this is a fallen world, he would not let us go. He wouldn't just let us be in misery in this world. Jesus came to pay the price of every sin, and the Holy Spirit of truth guides us in this life. Many Christians miss the opportunity to be fulfilled in exactly what they hope to be in this life, all they were created to be, because we miss the idea that we have to be connected to the Holy Spirit. It is not just what we can do on our own. It is not just keeping a set of religious rules. It is a matter of being guided by the Spirit of God. So you got to pray, and you got to pray every day. You got to worship God. You have to study the Scriptures. We have to do those things that connect us with the Spirit and be guided by the Spirit of God. And when we do that, we can be everything God has created us to be. The purpose of this life is to be what we were created to be, what God imagined us to be when he created us. And God has a really good imagination. God sees what we are. Not the stuff we've done, not the things of this fallen world. He sees what he created us to be, and he knows exactly how to guide us into being that divine creature, even in this fallen world. That doesn't happen through determination. It doesn't happen overnight. It is a hard thing to do in a fallen world because we're stubborn. We want our own way. We want to do what we want to do. But the Christian faith is a matter of giving our hand to the Holy Spirit, letting him take us by the hand and guide us to be exactly the person God created us to be in God's wondrous imagination. And that's why we pray. But it is important that we pray together here and every day so that we are connected with the Holy Spirit that is here with us even in this moment, because his intention is not to just leave us to do the best we can, but to guide us into every truth, to be the person God created us to be. So let's pray to him. God, thank you that you created us, and that you created us not to just send us into this world to do the best we can. You created us in your image. We hear those amazing words from the psalmist that tells us we are created even a little lower than the angels. We are your divine creation. And yet, we look at our lives, we look at the world around us, and we know what a struggle it is. How many times we failed. How many times we've been hurt. And we wonder, can we really have the life you created for us? Let us hear the words of Jesus that tells us that we can. But it's not easy, and it doesn't come through our action. It comes by giving ourselves to you and being guided by your Holy Spirit every day, that we might be what you've created us to be. God, help us to be that. Help us to be even more than we imagined. Help us to be your divine creation, taking steps every day to draw closer to you, being guided by your hand, that we wouldn't just do our best, that we would be what you created us to be, and show the world in this troubled world what it means to be a divine creation of God. Help us, Lord, to overcome our sin, our struggles, our fears, and all the things that would keep us from totally following you. We ask all of this in the name of Jesus as we come to you in our prayers, and you hear the prayers of us, your children.